好嘞，行。
Okay, so we'll start off with a quick overview of the minutes. I think to sum up the last meeting would be to say the requirements that we've set out. Those are, we were going to go for what seemed to be a fairly minimal design based on a small joystick, LCD, and a couple of other buttons for navigation and power beam, I suppose, one of the main single purpose buttons. We were also going to use the novelty of being able to locate the remote control again via a small transmitter ring lock to be able to try and separate us. And also, because of the minimal design, looks like we'll be able to be fairly adventurous in the actual physical shape of our remote control ring lock. Just sums up the last one. So we'll just crack on. I'd like to maybe start with the industrial designer if it's possible. We can, today is the concept, today, this meeting is a conceptual design phase and is, and is to cover things like what parts might be made of, can we outsource these from elsewhere, will we have to construct the items ourselves?
I have a presentation there, I just said that in the.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll load it up then. Which one? Oh, interface concept?
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. We've got Ken watching, that's.
Components design?
Components design. Okay.
Alright, so the case, well, that's further on. First of all, it could be plastic, hard plastic. But later on, we found out that it can be rubber as well, or titanium, or even wood. So we decided that it's going to be probably plastic. We need the infrared transmitter. Get that off the shelf. Joystick will probably, if we're going to use it, could be plastic or rubber even as well. If you go on to the next slide, if you go on to findings, it's about two or three slides down. Right, so this is what I found we can use. Three different types of batteries. Can either use a hand dynamo or the kinetic type ones, you know, that they use in watches, or else a solar power one.
The kinetic one,
Cause.
because that's the one where like the movement causes
Yeah.
it. The battery for a watch wouldn't require a lot of power, would be my one query. Is a kinetic one going to be able to supply enough power?
Well, then watch moves around a great deal more.
Yeah, I don't think it would. And solar cells, I don't know about
Wouldn't solar enough,
that. Should probably just use conventional batteries. Just like a neutral remote controls.
Which is closer as well, would allow us to go off the shelf again, you'd say?
Yeah. These are three different types of, or two different types, three different types of shapes. You can have one is a flat one, and then more original ones are a single curved one or one with a double curve. The materials are there, as you can see, but you can't have titanium if you're double curved.
Titanium get really strong metal.
Yeah.
Is it
And light.
obviously expensive?
I think so as well, yeah. They get made like so, like, so it's really light as well.
Curious, I don't know if you'd be able to off the top of your head or not, the single curved and double curved. Would you be able to give an example? Could you maybe draw
Yeah.
something? You don't, it doesn't have to be perfect, it's just because I'm not quite sure if I understand the difference between the two.
Yeah, occurred, well, I was thinking for to sit in your palm of your hand, maybe like this, with the joypad here, joystick here, and maybe an OK button around here so that the thumb can use it quite easily. I don't know exactly double curved. It probably means this is probably double curved. Whereas a single curve would be like that, I guess. Parallel, so.
So it might literally just be
two curves, I
think. Okay.
Yeah, like that. Whereas this is two curves. So I guess that's what they mean by double curve. Which else, it looks better than a single curve, but you can't have it with titanium. And for the buttons, you can have the scroll wheel which they use in mouses for PCs, but it requires a more expensive chip to use, and if you want to use LCD, it's a bit more expensive. So there's trade-offs there. If you want the buttons to be, if you have a double curve control and it's rubber, then you have to use rubber buttons as well. But I reckon you're gonna have to have a number keypad anyway. For the amount of channels these days, you wouldn't want to just have to scroll through all the channels to get through one you want. You want to enter just the numbers, if you know it. So I reckon you're gonna have to have a number keypad anyway.
So you've got a little bit about the chip that we might require as well.
Yeah. So depends where can I spend the money if you want a fancy LCD.
Do you have any idea so far, like when they're saying that we need an advanced chip for an LCD, does that shoot the cost up by a drastic amount, or?
You need an advanced chip for LCD? Is that right?
Well, I think compared to this pressing of buttons.
Advanced, like.
If you press a button, they send a certain transmission through the infrared, whereas I think if we're controlling the LCD, you definitely require a much more powerful chip. Just compared to the chip you would use for pushing buttons, I think, Steve.
Okay.
It's probably been made, if I've not overstepped.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, should I go on or go back?
If we only have £12, 12 euros, not even £12, 12 euros was that like £8 or something like that?
Well, we'd also be relying on the bulk buying and increasing the such.
Okay, that's
I assume we have to look into the cost of those. So, sorry.
The previous slides just explain what's in the internal components of the remote control. If you go to the one before that, so it just says what it does. Translate the key press into an infrared signal, and this is received by the TV. The chip just needs to detect the signal, or detect the key press, and then it's added to the amplifier.
Okay.
And then the next slide just shows how the copper wires interact with the buttons, the rubber buttons, to get sent to the chip. So that's just how the control works and stuff. We decide on what buttons we're going to use.
So in the information that you've been supplied, how feasible would you say the idea of using an LCD looks?
I think we can do it if we use conventional batteries and not have solar cells connected. single curved case, because you might need it to be curved for the phone to use the joystick easily. And then you need the advanced chip to play a suite.
I mean, that sounds like quite a good requirement to me. Dimensional mapping would seem to make sense. I'm not sure if there's any cost differences between single and double curved, and I don't know about anybody else, but plastic or rubber as a traditional form of casing would seem to be a good way forward.
I'm actually going to be more go straight for rubber, for reasons I'll go into.
Okay. I also have a preference for rubber.
Okay, well,
based on my reasons.
Yeah, well, will we move on to user interface and sorry, as long as we're new.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Interface concept.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to work between the slides and the whiteboard, because I actually have some fairly concrete things. I was given an HTML file giving various ideas from other previous remote control designs, and pretty much decided to just dump them all. I wasn't very impressed by them. They didn't seem to really, nothing I saw seemed to meet the sorts of design specifications that we're going for today. Rather than looking at other remotes, it would be better to simply look at the human hand. And try and figure out a way of laying out the elements we've already decided on, so that the fingers, each finger or thumb is wherever it needs to be already. Next slide, if you please. What we basically decided on was the joystick, two function buttons, and the LCD. Just keep it pared down to the absolute minimum. I think we need the numeric keypad, because one of the menus that we could have available via the LCD is one where you scroll through channels. So if there's something, and bear in mind, since this isn't meant to work for digital or for K or whatever, you're basically looking at four or five terrestrial channels, and then the channel for your VCR and or DVD player and more set top box. So it's not I'm not really excessively concerned about that. And so I have two modes: basic mode, where the joystick's left right for channels, up down for volume. And menu mode for further functions. And the reason I was particularly interested in using rubber for this is if we're going to have a highly ergonomic design, it needs to be ergonomic for left or right-handed people.
Now let's jump in slightly there.
Mm-hmm.
That would suggest that double curve design is probably going to be most appropriate then.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I what Zoom will be having, I would say the whole thing articulated at two points, so that if you're handing it from a left or right hand, you can adjust it so that the LCD and the joystick would be in the right place. Also, it's a rather nicer design gimmick that the whole thing, it should have sort of organic feel to it, as it should be, soft to touch and can be moved around. Oh, nice. On to the next slide.
Just to let you know, we'll probably be quite tight for time as well.
Okay.
Because I think you've probably got a lot you'd like to say, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Basically. Assuming the hand to be in a sort of this position, not remote, holding the remote. The joystick unit should rest over the joint of the forefinger, so it's directly has it for the thumb. And it would need to be articulated just below that so that it could be switched around for left or right handed users. So we then have a grip section that can be more or less the same irrespective of handedness. You just have two big buttons that cover most of the area, so it can in the upper part, one for the forefinger, one for the middle finger.
Is this the joystick?
This part here is the joystick. This would be the actual grip, probably where you want to have the battery as well.
Okay.
So that would be probably the bulkiest part. And you then have at the bottom the LCD, and this would need to be articulated as well. And basically, I want this to rest here, right at the base of the wrist. So it fits nicely in the hand, and again, this part could be rotated so it can. So that it can be adjusted to either left or right handed user. So the top function button in basic mode would be the on switch. And menu mode would be the enter button, and then the bottom function button switches between modes. Now programming it, this is one thing I found with the replacement remote controls. Programming them can be a right pain. So I thought the simplest way that would be to have a cable to connect it to the computer, some fairly simple software on the computer, just so that on your home computer, just so that you could. Program it in a rather more comfortable interface, and you could download programs for it for TVs from all the main manufacturers. Though it would be necessary to have a mode for programming it without the computer, just in case there are still people left out there who don't have them yet.
Okay.
That's my idea.
Okay. So, together my research. Two basic methods. We compared whether people want the remote control to do a lot of stuff, or they want it to look cool. And then we research our fashion trends in Europe. What's the new black, as it goes. Next slide. We found an order of importance. People want the remote control to look cool more than they want it to be cool. As in, they want it to do a lot of goods. They want it to look like it does a lot. And if it does do a lot, that's a bonus, but they don't care so much, you know. They want it to be, that sounds a bit like a contradiction. Technologically innovative. People want it to be that, but still, they care more about the way it looks than what it does. So like the interface is really important. And easy to use. It just so happens that from the second point to the third point, is twice as important. I mean, the second point is twice as important as the third point. People want it. It has to be cooler than easy to use. You know, if it has the newest features, even if it's difficult to use, to prefer it to have the newest features. And if it's easy to use, that's a bonus. The fashion. Now, this seems a bit odd to me, but fruit and veg is the new black for furniture, for clothes, for shoes. How that relates to a remote control, I don't know. But I see, I'll come on to that in the next slide. Spongy, I've been saying everything is the new black, but spongy is the new black as well. So we had the choice between rubber and plastic. If it's a type of rubber that you can squeeze, you know, it's spongy, then that's good for it.
The rubber material is the type of stress ball material,
okay,
not just normal rubber.
Okay, so kind of spongy material. So,
okay.
So my personal opinion, we've some fancy and technologically innovative, obviously, but what we need is something that looks like it's from the future, that looks cool, that's different, you know, that's, everyone has a white remote control or a black remote control, you need something cool. Like, titanium is cool, but it's expensive, and maybe it's a bit of overkill for a remote control. Now the fruit and veg options, either we go in that direction or we stay totally away from it. I mean, the research did come up with fruit and veg, so maybe it is important. It's up to the interface guy. So if we stay away from it, you know, stay away from it. But if we're gonna go along with it, then it doesn't necessarily have to be like an apple or something like that, or a kiwi fruit. It could be something like, I say potato peel, but I'm sure you guys have a much cooler idea than I do. So I think cool is the key. Few questions about a spongy remote control. I've never seen one before. I've seen plastic remote controls. I think maybe they were, I don't know, back in the day when they first came up with remote controls, they had a reason for it being sturdy, you know, for being strong and sturdy. So if we want something strong and sturdy, I say stay with plastic or titanium. But if we go with spongy, we can stress that you can drop this as many times as you want. It doesn't matter, it's spongy material, it's not going to break, you know. I just don't know how the LED and the lights are going to fit into a spongy material, because it's not going to be completely squeezable. So how do things fit in? And if we are going to use spongy, we can say it's long lasting, you know, it's damage resistant and stuff like that. So just to summarize, people want stuff that's cool, that looks like it's cool. And if it is cool, then that's a bonus, where it doesn't have to be. People like fruit and veg, we can either go down that alley or stay totally away from it. People like spongy material, if we're going to use spongy material, we have to think of how practical it is and how we can further promote that idea. And also, this was this year, so things change all the time, every year. You know, they always talk about this year, this is the new black. Well, next year something else is going to be the new black, and we're stuck with last year's fruit and veg type stuff. Okay, that's me.
Well, I would say that the most you could probably hope for is gaining a year's leave than most people anyway. You always have to bring out new designs, so if we can get next year, then that's possibly a good place to start anyway. Seems like a lot of the components could be off the shelf, so I don't know exactly what cost would be incurred. I can see your point about the numbered keypad, but I would say that we can probably incorporate it into the menu system if you need to do traversal of a large number of channels. My feeling would be that even if at a later date this was to be taking control of set-top boxes as well, and the use of the LCD and the joystick would probably allow you to manipulate enough channel numbers for you to be.
Right. And child, if you've got a lot of channels, the number keypad can be quite annoying as well, because it's, you know, if you're trying to remember what numbers the discovery channel are.
That's a good point. You can incorporate names.
But if you have a menu structure, then you can subgroup them.
Okay.
So
news, music. What do you do on that? The Sky Digital kind.
Yeah.
So what it looks like to me is we'll use a large number of standard components, say something like lithium-ion battery, the kind that you find in most small handheld devices now. Looks like we're going for a double curve design. I don't know what cost implications there are in that. Looks like we're pretty much decided on some kind of flexible rubber. Well, I have to say, depending on how flexible it is, we might need to have some kind of inner frame.
Yeah, I would say definitely. I mean, having it sort of articulated, there would be basically two points of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
One below and one above the main sort of grip.
you think there's any way we could maybe remove the articulation? I can see why it looks appealing, but it could be a weak point in the structure, do you think? That would be a worry of mine.
We got a third impression. What's up with that?
I don't think it would be a structural weakness. I mean, if you have a firm substructure, you can then incorporate articulation into that. If you then have a sort of outer skin of flexible, spongy rubber, then you have something that is very much organic. My drawing there just doesn't do it justice, basically. But it makes it look a little bit more like a vibration than a remote control, but
yeah, we won't have that functionality. However, one interesting point is, I don't know how serious you were there, but if we take some of the ideas of a banana, why don't we make it a damn thing yellow to incorporate the colour of the logo?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know, it's certainly a different colour from your average
make it harder to lose as well.
Yeah. Sure. Was there anything in your research?
The noise for when you lose the banana. For when you lose the remote control. It could be like a monkey noise or something like that, rather than a standard you lose the monkey, the banana. You lose the banana, you press a button, and you hear like monkey screams or something like that to direct you towards the banana.
I think that's something that could perhaps be programmable. Though we have monkeys to fall.
I was going to talk about the programmable remote control. Now, I think it'd be cool if you had one remote control that can work with all TVs. You know, you click a button and it finds the frequency that works with your particular television.
Mm-hmm.
But why you need to program it like a standard feature, I don't know.
Well, basically the each manufacturer will have a particular command set that the TV responds to.
Yeah.
It's not simply a matter of frequency. So usually what's done is you have a big booklet full of different possible. You'll have all of them sort of programmed into the remote, and you'll have this little booklet of codes.
Mm-hmm.
You then find your manufacturer and try the different codes that come under that manufacturer's name until you find the right one.
That's because televisions, they don't give the remote control any type of feedback when you send it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So that's quite annoying, and we probably would still have to do that. But if we had some sort of hookup to your computer as an option, then if you've got a computer, you can avoid that. Rather irritating.
An interesting point is that if the person doesn't have a computer, you can still make the process easier, because instead of having to look up codes, maybe we can have it that one of the options they have is that they look up the name of the company on the LCD, and then
yeah.
maybe look up different names
yeah.
of the different actual units that have been produced. Or we have the remote control just go through them until it's like, does it see the correct function?
Is it actually a book of names to visit, or is it like a few pages?
Booklet. Some pages.
I just think if you were to store this information, some type of mapping, this person probably need to use this feature like once, you know, when you first buy the remote control, or whenever they buy a new television. So, once
it
doesn't
have to be used very often, that's right.
Yeah, and it's...
But it's a nuisance. And it's a nuisance very close to the... actually purchasing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something you like to be thinking about. If there's one in the shop that says it can avoid much of that nuisance, you might be
mm-hmm.
favorably inclined towards it.
Okay, it's just to give us some rough idea of what we're meant to be at the comment stage. I'm pretty sure we've got that anyway. This is a conceptual one. I think we've covered everything we need to here. I think we've decided on standard items for most of them, rubber and such. So we're now looking at the detail design and what we need to be doing for the next meeting. So for example, to start at the top, you've got yourself and the industrial and designer going to be working quite closely at this stage, because it'll be hard not to, obviously. Looking for prototyping of some description using clay. I suppose you'll be told a lot more about that as a progress. The user interface design. It looks like the idea pushed forward so far is maybe more of a physical one there, whereas possibly be more interested in maybe how the LCD is going to incorporate, do you think? Or do you perceive that most of the design decisions still need to be based on physical layout?
I think other than getting a sort of more aesthetically pleasing form for it, most of the sort of layout design decisions are made, I would say. But then again, the menu structure, to a considerable extent, that's going to vary according to the model of television, and also any customizations that the user might wish to incorporate. So, one of the nice things about having an LCD and a menu structure is that there is that flexibility to it.
That's very true. Got product evaluation as well.
Yes, yeah. Some of these things kind of logically follow the others. How can product evaluation, doesn't that come after actually seeing a product prototype?
I think it'd be more a case of how do you envisage us performing the product evaluation once we have a model to test with.
Oh, that's good. Okay, sure.
So it'd be a case of, do you think that just bringing users in to have them test it out, maybe putting a certain number of products into the field in certain places,
mm-hmm.
which I suppose is quite similar, or just kind of hitting the streets and, you know, saying, this is a new remote control, what do you think to look at it?
Okay, sure.
At
this stage, we still have no target audience.
I think the target audience is pretty much anybody under the age of, say, maybe 60 or something ludicrous.
Okay.
The reason I'm saying that is that we're just looking at a replacement remote control, something that's stylish. So maybe you're narrowing down your target audience simply by saying, if they're buying it that often, or they're maybe looking to replace something, then they've got a bit of free cash, so that puts them potentially in the younger age bracket,
mm-hmm.
maybe even single, just for the reasons of excess cash flow.
Mm.
Although, of course, I mean, at 25 euros, I don't think we're looking at charging a year for the device.
Yeah.
That's well within the normal bracket. Your idea of the USB, I think, would largely depend on the cost. The USB is definitely one of the cheapest interfaces out there, but it might push the cost of the overall unit up, because we require not just the connection, but the chip for communicating with the rest of the system. That one might have to be based on
the
USB for which?
For the remote control.
The idea was that maybe we could connect up for allowing the software interface in the PC for a larger programming, due to the fact that we've gone for such a nice, easy, minimal design normally.
Definitely talking some type of room.
But then they just say it's just for TV.
It's just for TV, but for
different
programming it to use your TV, they might put it up to the PC. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking maybe that the additional cost of the USB might be prohibitive. We don't know unless it would make sense.
But you're going to use some type of flash memory or something. Well, something that doesn't, you wouldn't have to redo the whole thing once the battery is changed.
It would need to have some sort of onboard memory anyway. For one thing, but I do think the main system should be, although it's not going to be terribly complicated, it's just controlling one device, the main system ought to be ought to be customizable and
different languages and
how you want, say, the menu structure for looking through channels.
If it was customizable as in different languages and stuff, that does open. It is supposed to be international, right? So
it would make sense to.
It would make sense to say.
I'm very careful at the time as well. Everybody had out in the morning, so I would say yeah. International would make sense. We're going to look at product evaluation. I start writing a bell like that. We're going to look a bit more at the kind of the physical makeup. See, looks like we're going to need to get a kind of prototyping plate. We'll see how that goes. So, I think we've got an idea of where we need to go for the next meeting, would you say?
Yeah.
Also around the fashion thing, like
the food and beverage.
Just around spongy rubber.
Yeah, I would say that would be my
idea. I think I'd largely want to attract steer clear of the whole sort of fruit and veg thing. But the spongy.
We seem to have quite a general consensus that the idea of the rubber could be quite.
Yeah.
Having bright yellow and things like that, then maybe we could have options for colours as well.
Okay.
And I think this has the advantage of being harder to lose.
Sure. I mean, we are trying to promote a remote control, but we want to keep the company brand as well.
Yeah, so we always need to remember it's somewhere we're going to be getting a slogan on. Possibly, I'm not sure, but I'm seeing a little bit of space around maybe the joystick area which could be used.
Like I said before, I think we should have the RR on the top function button.
Okay, and I think that says it all, really.
I think so too.
Right, see everybody in a half hour.